down. Good to see everybody out. It's always wonderful and blessed encouragement to be able to gather together to study God's Word, to be here, to worship with one another. We're so happy when we have visitors with us to come out and to be here to study God's Word. We hope that we have been an encouragement to you. Continue to do so as you are visiting with us. And of course, we let you know that you are an encouragement to us also. I love that song that we had just sung, getting through that adult class. So we just got into it on Wednesday night. We'll be getting finishing up probably chapter 1, getting into chapter 2 tonight at 5 p.m. So if you desire to study Joshua, we haven't even got to the walls of Jericho yet, so we're leading up to that. I encourage that you do come and join us as we study. This morning's lesson was a recommendation that was brought to me a little while ago. I told him that I'd have to take a little more time rather than just 1 week to try to prepare this lesson. I have a lot of verses thrown out in this lesson to talk about Satan and demons. In particular, they wanted to know more about possession, I believe, and I do cover that within this lesson, but we'll see how well it goes. I hope that I answer more questions than I make as I go through this. One thing to keep in mind as you study this, Deuteronomy 29:29, which tells us the things we know, and the things that he has not revealed is for him, and we just need to accept what he has given to us. So with that, we're just going to bring out a bunch of verses that show what we do know. And a lot of things that we can try to draw a conclusion, but are not strictly, this is what it says. It doesn't say the demons are these. Satan came from here. It's a lot of looking at verses and seeing how it's worded and see how it can be pointed out in this direction. And so we, most of the time, a lot of people draw to these conclusions. And so I hope that you will follow along. I hope that it is helpful. And if there is any further questions that you have on this subject or something that maybe you understand better than I do, bring that to my attention and I will try to answer that, or I will happily receive some better understanding of the demons and of course Satan and history of them and what the Word of God has to say about it. So, plus, the article in the bulletin this morning also goes along with the end of the lesson this morning. It goes in further detail of it, and so the article does go with the study and thought of Satan also. So, the first point I want to bring out this morning is talking about Satan and demons is bringing out the beginning. Now, I went ahead and threw angels in there because if you heard anything about what everybody thinks, most of the time it is the conclusion that Satan and demons are possibly the fallen angels, the angels that have sinned. So we're going to bring out some Bible verses that kind of point to that direction, why people draw to that conclusion. And of course, once again, I want to bring out that there's not an actual verse that says that demons are fallen angels, the angels that have sinned. That is exactly what Satan is. But a lot of verses kind of, to an extent, point in that direction. So, first bring out that question of where do they come from? Was they created by God? Well, we go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, if you start with me. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Colossians 1, and starting there and reading verse 16, which reads and says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." And so here it's brought out, it's bringing out that point that all things were created through our Lord and Savior, were created by our God. I got Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, one of the verses that kind of point to that idea that they may be the angels, and especially the followers of Satan, to that point of maybe of unclean spirits, demons. As you read here in Matthew 25 and verse 41, it says, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for his angels. So here's brought out again that mindset that they were created. It brings about those principalities, God created all these things. And so here we're talking about Satan, we're talking about demons, and yes, they were created by God. All right, they are a creation of God. I'll bring out a couple more verses to maybe help give us an idea of that, but we don't know before creation, right? We go to Genesis chapter 1, that's the beginning of our time. What God did before that and hearing all that, we don't know. And so what I do have is in Jude and verse 6, if you turn along with me there, Jude and verse 6, it's always fun to make sure you don't say chapter when you have it like that. Jude and verse 6, and here it brings out, it says, and the angels who did not keep, again, this idea that they're possibly angels, because it says angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So here it brings out angels who did not stay where they were told to stay. Angels who were created and did not stay where God had positioned them. And so he has prepared a special place for them until the day of judgment. So it's an idea also as we look at this verse on where they're possibly at now and to that point that they're not roaming the world today. And we'll get further into that later on in the lesson of whether or not possession and things like that take place today. And so here, a verse that I did not put in the projector, once again, as I continued to go over my lesson over and over again, then I kept on adding stuff, taking stuff away, and even to this morning, adding a couple extra things. If you turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 28, I want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Sometimes I get myself in trouble when I add after it's already Sunday. But Ezekiel 28, and you start there in verse 11. Here again, getting in that mindset of the creation of when they came to be, or if they were before mankind. But you look here in Ezekiel chapter 28, starting in verse 11. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation of the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord of God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbers and pipes that was prepared for you. And on the day you were created, you were anointed cherub who covers, I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in the ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. And so, just from these verses, and you can continue to read a little bit further down, as you read this, and of course it starts off saying, speak to the sons of man. And it speaks of king of Tyre. But then it speaks in this point that whether it's speaking of demons or Satan himself, or speaking of the king and how he has been deceived and caught up in the deception of Satan and demons and their temptation that he has set forth out there, because it talks about being there in the garden. Of course, the king wasn't there in the garden. It talks about the cherub in verse 14, which is often, as you read about the cherub, most people refer and think that maybe that's another term for angels. It's very close to that, a holy, holy thing of God that you look into. And so here it's that they're on the holy mountain of God. And so here it talks about, once again, they were created. It talks about them being in the garden, walking back and forth in the midst of the fire pit. And so here we talk and see that there is an idea, a mindset of the creation of the angels, the creation of demons, creation of Satan, and maybe that mindset that they were angels beforehand. Again, another verse that I didn't put in here, because until I hit this verse, I was like, I can bring both out at the same time, is Isaiah chapter 14. Again, another verse that people often refer to as Satan, and in mindset that it is Satan here, as it speaks about Lucifer, and Lucifer being an angel or falling from heaven. Again, if you go all the way back to Isaiah 14, verse 4, it's talking about another king again, king of Babylon here. And if you jump to the end of these verses, verse 22, it goes back into the punishment of Babylon, that Babylon's going to be cut off. And so it could be just simply talking to the king of Babylon. But again, how he is caught up in the deception, how he's caught up in being deceived and the ways of the world, as many evil leaders have done so, that you can read these verses and see how it could apply to a king, but also to that point, how it might apply to Satan himself. So here, Isaiah 14, verse 12 says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Shiloh, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms?" So I can see it both ways. If you're trying to think that maybe he's still speaking about the king of Babylon, or he's speaking about Satan, and of course, if it's about the king who's done all these evil and wrong things, and he's done it because of the temptation that Satan has set out there, the desires that he has given into. And so, and again, in that mindset and understanding where we can see what the scriptures say about the creation of angels, the creation of Satan himself, and how they might become demons when they fell. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. Again, here it's explaining that angels can't sin. Right? I understand sometimes we get caught up in that mindset, especially if you're into reading books and watching TV shows and movies. They push that point that the angels are supposed to be the perfect. They're a creation of God. We see they had temptation. They gave into sin. Those who have fallen, as we read in Jude in verse 6, and now 2 Peter 2 and in verse 4 says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." So again, angels who sin. And so here are a few verses that continuously give you that idea that maybe Satan and his angels were possibly angels that once were there with God. And of course, as you go with me to Job, in Job chapter 1, we see that Satan had the ability to be able to go back and forth from heaven to earth at the beginning of time. He was going to and fro, as we read here in Job chapter 1 and verse 7. Job chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." So here Satan is going back and forth, and it brings out in this verse also, the Lord had gathered together, in verse 7, that the Lord had gathered together with the sons of God. Verse 6, it says there, "When the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them." And so often when you read sons of God, that sometimes people are thinking that maybe that's speaking about the angels. Speaking about those who are already in heaven, the angels that are gathered together there, and Satan being one of them, able to come amongst them also. And so he's able to do that. You go back and forth, and as you read through this account here in Job, go through Job 1 and Job 2, obviously Satan came back down. He had done so much destruction to all of Job's things, killed his children. He goes back up and speaks with God again. And then he comes back down and touches Job and strikes boils from the sole of his feet to the top of his head. So he's going back and forth. At one point in time, Satan was able to go back before he was completely cast out of heaven. And then you go to chapter 38, Job chapter 38, as of course, I think this verse 4 is one of Tom's favorite verses. I've heard him quote it a few times. But in verse 4 and then verse 7, as Job is questioning why all these things have come upon him, here God replies to him in verse 4, it says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Here he says, was any human there when I created all things? But in verse 7, it says, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So again, it seems that if sons of God is referring to angels, that they were there in the beginning of our time, of this world, and they shouted for joy when all things were created. They shouted for joy when all things took place. And so, this is a few verses that I can find that we can look up and find and see about the beginning of angels. Maybe that demons and unclean spirits and Satan himself was once an angel. And so, next point I want to bring out is talk about the power. I want to talk about how much power that we see that Satan or demons do possess that we can see through the scriptures. So, one point to bring out in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6, Hebrews chapter 2. In verse 6, as here it is quoting from Proverbs, from Psalms. Anyways, Hebrews 2, and in verse 6, as we read here, Hebrews 2 and verse 6, quoting from Psalm. It says, but one testified in creation place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than angels. You have crowned him with the glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. So here's speaking about Jesus, of course, becoming Jesus coming down to earth. And why are you so mindful of this mankind to come down here to become a little lower than angels? And so here, one thing we bring out about angels, well, we probably consider the demons and Satan, is that they do have more power. They are a little higher than mankind. But another point to bring out is that they are not higher than our God. We just read in Job chapter 1 and in Job chapter 2 that when Satan went full back and forth from heaven to earth, and God asked him, what have you been doing? Where have you been? And so he says, have you considered my servant Job? Satan thought, well, you've done everything for him. You provided for him. Look how great he is. Look, he was the greatest of the East. But God put restrictions on what Satan could do. He says, all right, do everything but touching Job himself. And so Satan did a great amount of work. And then when he came back and Job still did not sin, God said, just don't kill him. You can touch Job, but do not kill him. And so Satan went back down and he had, of course, caused the boils from the bottom of the feet to the top of the head of Job. So Satan does not have more power than our God. He is not a God. He is not the deity. We need to understand that. But they do not have more power. Again, in that mindset that we can overcome Satan, we can overcome these temptations. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. That God provides us an escape for all these things, all the temptations that Satan puts out there. Though he is more power than us, he's not greater than our God whom we serve, who is on our side. We are striving to overcome these temptations. So talk about possession for a little bit. One point to bring out, as I've done research on this and saw that other people's research and reading books and stuff, is that it brings out that nowhere do we actually see in the Old Testament that it says that demons or Satan possess any people. Not to say it didn't take place, but we have no Bible verses that says it. And so as we look at a few examples here in the New Testament that show that they were there, it is in Luke chapter 4, verse 31. Here, read along with me here. It says, then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at the teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirit, and they come out. And so here we see that they did possess them, that they did speak through a person, and that they do know who Jesus is, acknowledging who he is, acknowledging that he is the Son of God, acknowledging that he has the power to destroy them. And so they admit these things, they know who Christ is. Again, gives you that mindset and idea, understanding that they were there in heaven, that they know who God is, at least into that point. So as we read it here, it brings out when he was being cast out of the man, that he threw him down and then was cast out and came out of the person. In Luke chapter 8, and verse 26, we have the reading where the demon who is called Legion, because they are many, so more than one demon, caught up in a person. As you read through this account, and I'm not going to read all the accounts because, again, I have a lot of verses here for this lesson. But, again, I believe most of these verses are in the bulletin if you grab one of those. If you're not writing them down. So as it brings out here, the legion who caused the man to seize, caused the man to be able to break his chains and shackles that he was caught up in, and they were, you know, they couldn't have control. They couldn't keep him bound. And so here, again, they acknowledged who Jesus was. They acknowledge and know who the Lord is. This is just something that we can see and look at what they could do, what power they had. That when they took over somebody, they were able to do these things, has more power than mankind can and does have. In Acts chapter 19, turn along with me there. Acts chapter 19, one thing to bring out again is their knowledge of who Jesus is and who his true followers are. Because as you read here in Acts 19, in verse 15, it says here, but they cried out, away with him, crucify him. I'm in John. Okay. Acts chapter 19. Acts 19 and verse 15. As it reads here, it says, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but you, who are you? The man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. So again, then he was able to make this man jump out. He was able to tell false prophets, admitted he knew who Christ was, admitted he knew who the Apostle Paul was. And so just reading verses to give us a little understanding of what we can see through the scriptures. In Acts 16, we see that there was a woman who was possessed by a demon, following the Apostle Paul and going forth and prophesying, as we see here. In Acts 16 and verse 16, it says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us and brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. And so, again, they have powers. They are able to possess people, as we read here. And again, we don't read about them possessing people in the Old Testament, but I'm going to bring out some verses that maybe give the idea that they possibly did. And looking at that, people, without knowing, I believe, to that extent, were worshiping demons. They were worshiping demons. You look at these verses here as it speaks about idol worship. It speaks about idol worship, and of course, you take a mindset of reading through Exodus, and you read about the wise men and the magicians and the things that they were able to do. Some of it you might say, well, it might have been just the trickery of the eye that people and magicians use today. It also could have been at that point that we see that angels and demons had certain powers and was able to do certain things, that they were possibly actually doing these things. And so as we look at this in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 7, Leviticus 17, verse 7, as Moses is on the children of Israel again, continually. Leviticus 17, verse 7 says, they shall no more offer their sacrifices to demons, after whom they have played the harlot. This shall be a statute forever for them throughout their generations. And again, we don't see that they knowingly went and worshiped demons, but it was the fact that they got caught up in idol worship. In Deuteronomy 22, or 32 and verse 17, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 17. Here it brings out the verse that says, here it says, they sacrifice to demons and not to gods, to gods they did not know, to new gods, new arrivals. Again, they made sacrifices to these demons. And in Psalm 106 here, I believe is the verse where it speaks about them sacrificing their own children. Psalm 106 and verse 37. Psalm 106 and verse 37 says, they even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons, and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. So, in that mindset, that they got caught up in worshiping idol and idolizing images and stuff that they had created, now gives us that mindset in these few verses that speak about demons in the Old Testament. That maybe it's because demons had possessed either these animals or were going through these people, and they started seeing the signs that they were doing and didn't further research and question it by the Word of God, and they worshiped these idols. It's made mention again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. As, of course, people are caught up whether or not to eat the meat and food of idols that have been sacrificed to idols. And so here, Paul, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 20 says, rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than Him? So again, there's a lot of things in here that I can read and show you the verse, but there's a lot that's left out to quite fully put it together of how they were doing and what they were doing to cause people to believe that they were just idols or gods and to the sacrifice. But we have these verses to help us somewhat better understand a little more. So now I want to bring out the point of reason for supernatural things, reason for miracles, speaking in tongues, prophesying demons upon this world. So the first thing we need to understand is that they were there, and to, as Jesus brought out, that they understand that the kingdom of God was upon them. As Jesus came down and was able to cast these spirits out, as Jesus came down and performed his miracles, we read here in Matthew 12, verse 28. Matthew 12, verse 28 says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come up on you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. So as we consider what he just said there, and of course people get caught up in saying, well, Jesus casts out demons by being the head demon himself, right? And being Satan, and you cast out demons by, he says, well, a house divided cannot, read the other verses, a house divided cannot work. And so Jesus brings out that point. First, you bind the strong man. He's the one that has the power over Satan. He has power over the demons. He has power to cast them out himself. He does it by the authority of God. Does it by the authority of God, because God has more power than they do. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Matthew 8, verse 16 says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and they cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So again, that fulfilling prophecy. And again, some people conclude that sometimes under these circumstances, under the word of God, during this time frame, that some of the sicknesses that had come upon people were caused by, of course, the unclean spirits. And so another verse to look at is Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Verse 17. Mark 16 and verse 17 says here, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. They will drink anything deadly, and it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. So as we've read the scriptures about possession and Jesus casting them out and how that proved his power over them, we read the verse that it shows that the kingdom of God is upon us today. And here it was to confirm the truth. The reasons that they were able to work these miracles, able to do these signs, was to confirm the teaching that they taught. And so as we understand the reasoning for miraculous signs, for what we might call a supernatural events, would they come to an end? Is there a time in which they should come to an end? So we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you turn along with me here. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8 says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So here it says, when that which is perfect shall come, then those things which in part, the miraculous signs, the speaking in tongues, the demons who were able to do such things, will come to an end. And in James chapter 1, verse 25, James 1 and verse 25 there tells us, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty is not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So the word of God is perfect. It is complete. And as we read in Mark 16, verse 20, to confirm, the word has been confirmed. And so therefore, there is no longer a need for these things. There's no longer a need for these miraculous signs. And so an end to demon possession, an end to these miraculous prophesying shall come to an end. So come to close of the lesson, look at how does Satan and demons tempt today. And of course, as we think about that, it's more of how does Satan tempt today. He is the tempter. So some translations, King James translation, may read devils. It's speaking about the demons. There is only one Satan that we read. Satan and his angels. He is the tempter. And so how do they go about working today? Again, somewhat hard to wrap your mind around everything, but let's look at a few verses. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's talking about like a roaring lion. Now, if he was a physical, actual lion, we'd be able to spot that, right? But here, that part is not literal, but he is out there seeking whom he may tempt, whom he may ensnare and bring into his own desires. He looks at what you want and tries to tempt you with those things. Turn along with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Here it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are ignorant of his devices. Which I put that question mark at the end. What devices? What things in which does Satan try to use to tempt us, to ensnare us? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26 here brings out how he sets a snare, a trap for us. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26, it says, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Again, has any been caught, literally caught, have literally been captive, have literally been forced by Satan to do anything? No. But he sets those snares, traps, devices within, I guess, our mindset and our conscience that we are caught up in our own desires and wanting to participate in the ways of the world, and we give in to the ways that he wants us to follow. Again, he has no physical control to make you do anything. We cannot sit here and blame Satan for our sin. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Luke 22, verse 31, and I'll let you guys look up that later, it is the verse where Jesus, before he was crucified and betrayed, tells Peter that Satan has asked for him, and he seeks a way to sniff him out, to sift him out, sift him as wheat. And so again, you kind of get that picture as Job and Satan, Satan speaking to God and asked to be able to do something to Job. Here Satan is trying to cause Peter to fall in temptation. Of course, Peter does. He denies the Lord three times. Himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his minister also transforms himself into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So they appear to be trying to teach the truth, or appear to be trying to teach righteousness. They say, we do these things in the name of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and in verse 9. Here it says, but those who desire to be rich, those who desire to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare. See how we talk about Satan's snares, talk about Satan's temptations? It comes back to our desires. It comes back to us having self-control. Us having control over ourselves, over our desires, putting our treasures up in heaven. It says, fall into temptation of the snake and snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. In James chapter 1, verse 13. James chapter 1, verse 13. This will be the last verse I turn to. I have one verse to throw out at the end of it. But one last verse I'll be turning to here. James chapter 1, verse 13. It says, let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and entices. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. This is how Satan does his work today. He simply puts out there deceptions due to our desires. And due to ignorance of not knowing right and wrong, fully studying and knowing what God means and asking the right questions and praying to God, seeking wisdom as you go to the beginning of James chapter 1. It tells us if you want wisdom, then pray for it. Go to God for it. We allow Satan to overtake us if we do not search the scriptures to build up our faith. Therefore, we must put on the armor of God. And you go through the armor of God, and you read there in Ephesians chapter 6, and it tells us we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against Satan, against the principalities of this world, the rulers of darkness, God of this world, God of this age. And you must go forth and put on the armor of God. Each thing, the breastplate, the helmet, the shield, the sword, all comes from us studying the Word of God and praying to the Lord. It comes from those things. That's what we must do in order to overcome Satan today. I hope that I've helped further understand. I know there's a lot of scriptures that I read pretty quickly. So if there is any further questions that you have, I feel like I need to do another lesson on it to further go in detail on things. Please let me know. I'm more than happy to study. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If anyone's here today and they've not obeyed the gospel because Satan has deceived you, cause
stepping in the light, stepping in the light, how dear I walk in the steps of the Savior, led as a bride, resting heart. turn from the way. Trusting the arm and strong to defend us, how happy our praises he slain. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior.
Here I live.
Thank you.
Did he fall asleep?
I did this, press that arrow button. And I pressed back in 2 times. That's the arrow button.